We celebrate you in the name of the Lord, and we give thanks for everyone listening in on podcast. We bless you. It's our joy to be a part of your life. Thank you for letting us be a part of your life every week. And we hope that you feast and enjoy the word as much as we do. And we are so blessed. This is a part of a series, 2020 Vision, See Jesus Clearly, and We'll See the Kingdom Obviously. And I've had so much fun. I hope you have. I've had so much fun so far. And today we're still out there on the water, and the disciples are still in the boat, but Peter gets out of the boat today. And so this is a great day, and may the Lord encourage you to get out of the boat, because you can't be a water walker until you get out of the boat. Wow, that's enough right there. Okay, let's look at some scripture again. Let's just go back through this. This is out of Matthew, because Matthew refers to Peter getting out of the boat, Matthew 14 and verse 20 through 26. And they all ate. This is talking about the miracle of the bread and fish, how Jesus multiplied a little boy's lunch and fed thousands and thousands of people. And he was revealing to everybody, especially his disciples, that he is the I am. Everybody say, he is my I am. I know it doesn't flow too well in English, but I'm telling you, the kingdom of God, heaven shouts when you say, he is my I am. Because that's what Jesus wants you to know. And he's constantly revealing to us through the word and through his works that he is the I am, the more than enough. Let's all say more than enough. That's what I am is. He's more than enough for everything we need and face in our life. That is exciting. And so they all ate and were satisfied. I want to tell you, that's a good word. I think I've already dealt with that, so I'll move on. And they picked up 12 small hand baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, not including the women and children. Then he directed the disciples to get into the boat, go before him to the other side, while he sent away the crowds. And after he had dismissed the multitudes, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was still there all alone. So hours had passed, and the disciples were still in the boat, hadn't made it to the other side yet because of a storm. Verse 24, and the boat was by this time out on the sea, many furlongs, distant from the land, beaten, tossed by waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea. I'm telling you, I want to stop here, but if you didn't hear last week, you need to go back and hear last week. If nothing else, to hear Pastor Tony give an example of grown men screaming like a little girl. I am telling you, that's worth it right there. They were so scared, and they said, it's a ghost. And they screamed out with fright. And what's happening in this, even though they didn't recognize his manifestation, because let's be honest, okay, we can look back and read, but they were experiencing this firsthand, first time, and they had never seen someone walk on the water at night. And I just have to believe. Now, I know some of the teens think I was there. They think I'm that old. Actually, there was a little survey last week, and I was amazed how young they think I am. So don't say anything to them. But the deal is that I have to believe there was a glow. I just see it. Because he is the light. And it was dark and stormy, rainy, winds, waves. And I just have to believe he will lit up. Okay, I see that. I like it, you know. If that's get to heaven, find out that's not the way it was, doesn't change the story. They screamed out with fright. And don't throw paddles at them, because you would have too. Yeah, you'd have been scared too, most likely. And so the 12 baskets, let's go back and look at the 12 baskets, because I've talked about the 12 baskets, and I want you to see that everything he was saying and everything he was doing, he was revealing himself as the I am. And he wants us to see and recognize him as the I am. The 12 baskets, were they for leftovers? Maybe, but I don't think it, I think it was a deeper meaning than that. I think it was a memorial. It was a memorial basket. It was a basket of remembrance. To remember, a basket for each one, little lad's lunch fed thousands and thousands of people, a basket left over for each one, and it's saying, Jesus is saying to them, that I am more than enough for whatever you face or whatever you need. That's what I am. That's who He is. And He was showing them and revealing Himself, and He's doing that today. You need to have a book of remembrance. If it's not a literal book, which I do recommend, you have a literal book of remembrance where you write down what God's saying and what God's doing, your testimony, and write it down, because what God's done before, He'll do again. He may do it in a different manner, different way, but He's still the answer. He's the great I am more than enough. Somebody say amen. And so even in this, He's also teaching that there's a faith expression. Faith is the bridge that goes from the visible to the invisible, for the invisible to be made visible. Okay? Now, faith is the bridge. And a lot of times what the Lord will give you is a faith expression. And so even the disciples, when they were referring, when they came to the area and were referring to this event later on, they described it as Jesus multiplying the food, but they said He gave thanksgiving, because thanksgiving was the bridge. Remember, Jesus already knew what Father was going to do, but He looked up to heaven, He looked up, and He expressed thanksgiving for what God was going to do before He did it. Somebody say faith expression. Yeah, the Lord will give you a faith expression. We just received communion as a body, and communion is a faith expression. Do you see that? Amen. And so, you know, it's the Lord fed thousands and thousands of people, and there was a basket for each one left over, each disciple. He's more than enough. And you go back and see that when Jesus stepped into Peter's business, his fish business, and He caused Peter to have a net-breaking, boat-sinking harvest of fish at the wrong time, at the wrong place, Peter knew that this was God. And he had a fresh memorial, a remembrance that Jesus is God. And he bowed down to Him and repented. And I want to tell you, but even with this, there was a faith expression. He gives us an opportunity to get in on it. Faith bridge. And so it goes like this. Jesus told them, let down the nets. He let down a net, singular. He said, let them down. And Peter knew, wrong place, wrong time of day. We fished all night, nothing. It ain't happening. But he said, but based on your word, are you listening? Based on your word, I will. He did, and there was the greatest harvest of fish he had ever had. Great multiplication of fish right out of heaven. Best fish the market had ever seen. Best price the market had ever gave. You understand? This was a miracle. He knew it. The multiplication of the fish tacos was a miracle. They knew this was tacos right out of heaven. Okay? The best they'd ever had. They had seen Jesus multiply wine out of water. Had taken the, when they ran out of wine, had taken jars of water. But see, there was a faith expression here. And Mary knew Him. And if you know Him, you'll encourage others to do what Mary had told those people to do. Do what He says. And she walked away. Because I want to tell you, that's a faith expression. And the Lord gives you direction for you to do it as a faith expression. And before the wine showed up, they filled the jars with water. Do you understand? And not only was it the best wine right out of heaven that they'd ever tasted, that's what the ceremony guy said. He said, it's the best ever. And you completely go against human tradition, because human tradition is to give the best wine at the first. Then after everybody gets a little lubricated, you give them the bad stuff because they don't know any different. But what you've done is something I've never seen. This is the best wine ever, and you serve it at the last. And it was more than enough. That's the I am. Are you seeing a picture here? And they had a faith expression also. Do what He says. And these disciples had already been on a ministry tour. See, Jesus had already anointed them and sent them on a ministry tour to go do what he did. And so they went out over the countryside preaching the kingdom of God. And they laid hands on the sick, and the sick recovered. And they cast out demons in his name. And they come back so excited. They said, "Master, even the spirits, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he told them a faith expression. You be thankful for your salvation. Be thankful for the position of salvation. Because it's the position of salvation that allows us to receive everything God wants us to have. Because he is the I am more than enough. Wow. Amen. I guess that meant more to me than y'all. I'm telling you, that's powerful right there. And when we live in the supernatural norm that Jesus was teaching his disciples and followers, that when we live in the supernatural norm because of Jesus, there are no limits in the kingdom of God. On earth, limits. Human mentality, limits. Human natural restrictions. But Jesus knocked all the walls down and took the roof off. This is what kingdom of God looks like. No human restrictions. You say, "Well, Pastor, they continue to get in trouble." Yeah, and we ought to identify with that. But we ought to also learn from that. Because we have the Holy Spirit with us to teach us. And remember what Mark 6:52, I brought this out in a former sermon on this. But look what Mark 6:52 reveals. "For they failed, they were in trouble in the boat, out on the water. They were in trouble with the storm." Now, storms come. Don't count how many storms or the lack of storms to measure your spirituality. It's not based on that. Storms come. To those that love God, those who don't love God, storms come. And so I want to tell you, you cannot keep storms from coming. But you can determine how you respond to them, either by faith or by fear. Is the church listening? All right, but look what happens. They got in trouble in the storm because of fear and doubt and unbelief. Faith has a different option. It's Jesus. When we park in fear and doubt and unbelief, we say no to Jesus. Okay, I don't think I can make it any clearer than that. But because even though storms come, even when a storm comes, we still have the bridge of faith. We can touch the Lord. Even if it's a visible storm and it looks like it's going to destroy us, by faith, we can reach over into the invisible and we can receive Jesus and receive of Jesus. And Jesus can heal the storm, and he's the way of escape for us. Amen? Amen. And so here we are. Mark 6:52 tells us why they were in trouble with the storm. Storms come, but there's still a faith answer. Here's the deal. Here's why they did not. And I want to tell you this. I hate to park on this so much because people say, "Well, you're condemning us or loading us up with guilt." No, I'm just trying to help you out. But sometimes people say, "I don't understand why this storm has lasted so long." This speaks to it. This speaks to it. Now, in my own life, I've circled mountains and said, "I've been here before." And so I understand. I have compassion on storms that seem to last a whole lot longer than they should. But I want to tell you something. I've got to love you enough to tell you that there's an answer in this. For they failed to consider. Why the storm trouble? They failed to consider or understand the teaching and the meaning of the miracle of the loaves. They forgot their memorial basket of remembrance. How quickly we can forget who he is. They forgot the I am. It had just been hours before. Hadn't even been 24 hours. But they had already forgotten. Now don't throw an oar at them. That they had already forgotten the understanding. Somebody say revelation of the I am. Well, what happened, Brother Tim? Well, the Bible tells us in 52, in fact, their hearts had grown callous. their hearts had hardened in a few hours. Now, you know that's possible. We've had people get revelation of Jesus in a Sunday morning meeting, and even before they get home, their heart gets hard. Sometimes because of a fuss, a little disturbance. Somebody didn't treat them right on the way home. They didn't get to go eat where they wanted to. I'm telling you, we hear all kind of stuff. All right? And if you just told me that, I ain't talking about you. Okay. Their hearts had grown callous. How quickly our hearts can become dull. Everybody say dull. And had lost the power of understanding. You know what that is? They had lost revelation. Now, let me explain this to you. You can lose quickly the revelation of the I am and still have the information of the I am. Do you see a difference? Now, I want to tell you, we deal in an information way and in an information world. And even in church life and in spiritual life, we have to have a measure of information to have some understanding, but revelation brings wisdom. Do you see that? And I want to tell you, what you can lose because your heart becoming hard-hearted. Well, how does that happen? Well, it happened with them because of fear. Fear. They got to focusing on the waves. They got to focusing on the wind. And fear came. And as a reason of that fear came, okay, they had unbelief. They forgot the revelation of the I am. They still had the information. They even had the baskets with them. All right? The remembrance baskets, the memorial baskets were with them, but they forgot the revelation of the I am, and they were responding in just factual human information. Okay, I hope you see that. They failed to consider the words and the works of Jesus. That's what happens to us. Their hearts had grown dull and hardened. That's what happens to us. That's why you can see a believer that's walking in the freshness and the love, the anointing, the joy of the Lord, and a week later it looks like they've never heard of Jesus. Because they failed to consider the words and the works of Jesus. To consider means to meditate on. When we practice remembering, and this is something we have to do daily, you cannot just do this on Sunday morning. We practice daily remembering Him, meditating on Him, rehearsing, renewing our mind. What happens is this, and you must catch this, the Holy Spirit is helping us, and He's massaging our heart. Do you see this? When you're remembering and meditating on the Lord, the Holy Spirit's massaging our heart to be tender to see Jesus. Our heart becomes tender and sensitive. When we practice remembering the revelation of Jesus, the I am. See, that's what communion's for. That's one of the tools. Okay? Hey, now look. Matthew 17. This was after the disciples had been on a ministry tour where they had laid hands on the sick and seen people healed. And they took authority over demons and cast out demons. And they were so excited. They had already seen the success of the name of Jesus. And while Jesus was up with a couple of disciples meeting with Father, the other disciples were down at the bottom of the mountain. And a man brought a lad that was demonized. And the disciples could not cast out the demon. And they didn't understand, why could we not do this? They were used to doing it. These were not rookies. These were people that are already veterans of casting out demons, and they came across one they couldn't cast out, and they did not understand why it didn't happen. These were not people gambling and seeing if it might happen. These were people that expected it to happen. They'd been doing the ministry, but they couldn't cast this demon out, and they asked Jesus later, why not? Now, when Jesus arrived on the scene, the dad came up to Jesus and said, if you will, if you can, if you will. And Jesus spoke to him directly, and he's speaking this morning, but he spoke to him directly and said, if you believe, all things are possible if you believe. I love what the dad said, because he said this. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Okay, now I want to tell you, I've described it to you, that believing and unbelieving, faith and fear is a tug of war. See, faith and unbelief, it's a tug of war. You decide who wins. You decide who wins. The disciples in the boat were in trouble because they were leaning toward fear. Unbelief wins. And I want to tell you, when this dad said, "Jesus, help me, I believe, but help my unbelief," you know what he did when he cried out to Jesus and asked Jesus for help? He leaned toward faith. Because up till then, fear was winning. Unbelief was winning. He leaned towards fear by calling on Jesus. That's a good thing to do. And I want to tell you, Jesus set this boy free. And Jesus told the disciples later when they asked, why couldn't we do that? He said, it was your unbelief. Your unbelief. And so this is what I'm telling you. He's trying to reveal to us. He's trying to reveal to the disciples over and over and over again. Don't think he hasn't done this a number of times in your life when you look back. But he's trying to show you and convince you that he's the I am. And that we have the faith to respond yes to God. We do. It's fear versus faith. It's a battle. We determine who wins. It takes courage. And that's what Jesus said for them to do. To be of good cheer and take courage. Look at this in verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They were scared. And they said, "It's a ghost." And they screamed out with fright. And instantly he spoke to them. I want to tell you, his word is what sets you free from fear. They didn't recognize him, his manifestation on the water, but they recognized his voice. They recognized his words. Instantly, he spoke to them saying, "Be of good cheer. Take courage." Listen, listen, again, here he is again. I am. Let's meditate and see him as the I am. And he says this, "Stop being afraid." Why? Because fear and unbelief wages war with faith. And if you continue to walk in fear, unbelief is going to win. It's not deep. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." Now, you know, there are people that take this and want to get on to Peter. I want to tell you, I think this is just pure-hearted expression of faith. And I think it goes like this. And I get this from my little granddaughter, Pebbles. Because she wants to be where I am. And I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to explain it. We have some funny stories on it. But I have to sneak off to go to the restroom. Because she wants to be where I am. She figured out I was in the restroom the day that I had sneaked off. And she's pounding on the door, "Papa T, let me in there!" No! I hollered out, "Lauren!" And Lauren came to the rescue. But see, it's the simple, this is what spoke to me. It's the simple expression of Pebbles, little 3-year-old granddaughter, saying, "I want to be where you are." This is what I believe Peter was saying. I think it was simple, childlike faith, simple expression of love. "Lord, if that's you, I want to be where you are. I want to do what you're doing." And Jesus responded. And this is what he said. He said, "Come." Now I want to tell you, that was a bold response by Peter. "Lord, if that's you, I want in on it." But you know what? That's what love life does. Love life wants involvement. I want to tell you, my wife wants to do some things that it's not real exciting for me. But I want to tell you, I have love life with her. And you know what that makes me want to do? Where you go, I go, baby. What you doing, I want to do. Where you are, I want to be in on it. And I told her one time, "I'm just going to go and be your bodyguard." Okay? Because that's what love life does. I think this is a beautiful expression, and I think this is your normal love life response to Jesus. Is Jesus, whatever you're doing, I want in on it. Amen. Hey, it's the year of participator, not spectator. And I want to tell you, that makes heaven smile. All right? And so I want you to catch something real quick. And Psalm 37:4 talks about the desires, that the Lord will give us the desires of our heart. And I want to tell you, it's a beautiful expression. And it's really kin to this verse. And I'm going to say real quickly, some people take this wrong. But I got to show you something here. And John 15:7, this is describing the supernatural norm that Jesus has knocked the roof off, knocked the walls down in our human living so we can experience abundant living, His type of living. If you live in me, now it's a big statement. If you live in me, that's more than visit on Sunday. You abide and you're vitally united to me, and my words remain in you. That happens when you meditate on what He's saying, you meditate on what He's doing, and you meditate and remember and reflect on the Lord and continue to live, and my word continues to live in your hearts. That's revelation remaining. Okay, we make it ours. We own it. We make it a part of us. Look at this. You will ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Now, I want to tell you, that's beautiful. Now, that's a whole lot more than somebody saying, well, I desire a pink Cadillac. I don't know why anyone would want a pink one. Oh, well, the Mary Kay people, I guess. But I would want a camo one, I guess. I don't know, but I don't want a Cadillac. But the deal is that this is a whole lot deeper than that. Because here's the deal. When you are in love with Jesus, and when you're walking and abiding with Jesus, His desires become yours. And I want to tell you, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. They reflect His. And I want to tell you, there's a power of agreement there. And there's a beauty in that. I've actually heard preachers stand up and say that if you want to know God's will, you just do the opposite of what you want. Well, come on. That's true if you're fleshly and carnal. But if you're walking with the Lord and you have love life with the Lord and you're allowing the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to massage your heart and you're walking in the revelation of the I Am, hey, you can ask what you will, and Jesus said, it'll be done. It'll be done. Old Testament, I'll give you the desires of your heart. You see, there's a trust factor in love life. There's a reflection there. His desires become yours. Somebody say amen so I can move on. I assure you, verse 12, most solemnly I tell you. Now, I want to tell you, this is double strength positive. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you. In other words, he knows that humanly this sounds like the impossible, but this is the kingdom reality. Let's all say kingdom reality. This is supernatural norm. If anyone steadfastly, this is more than just on holidays, or just when you're in trouble wanting to rescue. If someone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. Somebody say, wow, that's supernatural norm for us. And look at verse 3, and I will do. This is Jesus talking. So in other words, he's saying, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am. His name is more than J-E-S-U-S. His name is presenting and representing, and what we pray is the I Am, more than enough. Do you see the revelation? The revelation of Jesus. This is for you. This practice is for you. So that my Father may be glorified. Why? Because Father's glorified when in our prayer life and in our love life with Jesus, we reveal the I Am, not just in our life, but to others. The I Am is revealed, and this brings glory to Father. Wow. Ooh. That's good. Verse 14. Yes, I will grant. I myself will do for you. Is this any more personal? Is this any more powerful? This is a supernatural norm. I myself will do for you whatever you shall ask in my name, as presenting all that I am. That's why the revelation of the I Am and the love life relationship with the I Am is so important to what we do and what we receive in the kingdom. Revelation, John 14. I'm telling you, it's love life. If you will see the love life in this and practice this, you're going to see God do more. You'll see Jesus clearly, and you'll see the kingdom very obviously in your life, more than you ever have in your life. Brother Tim, it's a big statement. We'll look at John 14, 21. The person, I want you to say your name right there, who has my commands and keeps them is one who really, really loves me. And whoever really, really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love on him. Double love, double blessing. And will show, reveal myself to him. Somebody say revelation. See, this is his will for you. He wants to continue in your journey to show you revelation after revelation of revelation of himself. And I want to tell you, you continue to see the I am in revelation. You'll see the I am in the obviously in the kingdom. In your life. I will. I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him. Do you see that? That's beautiful revelation. And make myself real to him. That's realistic revelation. Personal revelation. Obvious kingdom in your life. That's what comes from love life. You see Jesus. You see, if not, if you try to do the Christian life without the love life, what you're operating in is logos and not rhema.
Right.
You're operating in information and not revelation.
Amen.
And I've met and dealt with people like that, preached in their churches, been at their schools, and I want to tell you, when there are people full of information and they don't have revelation, they can be mean as you know what. They can be selfish as you know what. They can be so self-centered and so mean. I'm telling you, revelation is the difference. Look what Jesus said to Peter, because I want all of you to hear this. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. Come. That's what Jesus is saying today. You want to live in the supernatural norm that Jesus paid for? It's the same words. Take courage. Cheer up. Rejoice in the Lord. Take courage. Remember that I am. Focus on the I am. And stop being in fear. Go to war against fear. No fear. And he says, come on, come. And so our part is to answer the call. Because Jesus is calling us. I know that he's calling our church to be a participator and not a spectator. And I want you to hear the Holy Spirit saying to you, I've got ground for you to walk in you've never walked on before. I've got things. I've got Jesus to reveal to you in ways you've never seen him before. We've got ground to recover that the enemy has stolen. Peter got out of the boat. Now, I want to speak on this. I have to wait till next week, but I'm so excited to share this part. Peter took a risk of faith. A risk of faith. And I want to tell you, a risk of faith is hearing God and seeing what God's doing and hearing what God wants. And when it makes no human sense, when humanity says no, when the world's way and system says no, and God's saying to you, this is the way, come, and you step out of the security of where you've been and step out on the words of Jesus, and that's all you got for the moment. Wow, that's next week. But here's kingdom life. No limits. No human restrictions. Peter walked on top of the water. Join Jesus in the supernatural norm. That's what he's saying. Peter's saying, Lord, I want in on that. Jesus said, come on. That's what he's saying to you. Who wants in on it? Now, if you're satisfied at being in the security of a sinking boat, if that's your security, because other people are there, everybody else is in here, and I'm just going to enjoy the security of staying in a sinking boat, there are a lot of people that want that. There are a lot of people that settle for that. But I want to tell you, if there's a voice in you calling you to the more, and I believe there is, if there's a voice in you calling you to the supernatural norm, then I want to tell you, you can join Peter, and he got out of the boat and he walked on top of the water. And he walked and followed after Jesus. He came toward Jesus. He didn't just step out, he walked. And I want to announce to you, you know I already believe this, you heard the last sermon, but all the disciples could have gotten out of the boat. All of them could have. And so don't you dare say to me, well, this is just for pastors or the super spiritual or those favored ones. No, no, Jesus has favored you. And he's called all of us to walk in the more. In the abundant life. And he's got it for you. And all the disciples could have got out of the boat. Peter, I want you to see this because this hit me about a month ago. Peter walked on four letters. He didn't walk on the water. He walked on the words of Jesus. Four letters. Come. Now, it's English transliteration. But you understand what I'm saying? A lot of people think they have to have so many signs and wonders and so many confirmations and everybody has to vote on it, whether they're to say yes to God. No, 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 no. I'm telling you, Jesus tells you four letters, come. You need to step out of the boat and walk toward Jesus. Yes. Peter walked on the letters. He walked on the Word of God, and we can too. And I want to tell you this is important because others follow us as we follow Jesus. And whatever we focus on becomes bigger. Am I right? Yes. Now, I'm just going to draw this little picture for you because you may say, well, it doesn't really matter, it's just me. No, it's not, because people are watching you. You have more effect on more people than you think you do. It's important for you to get out of the boat and follow Jesus, because I would just want to draw this picture for you. Peter got out of the boat. He walked on the words of Jesus. He's focused on Jesus and he's doing so well. Now, we know that as he got close to Jesus, he faltered. Why? Bible's real clear. He looked at the waves and he focused on the wind. That's what he considered. If he'd have still been considering Jesus, he'd have made it all the way to Jesus. Are you listening? Wait on this. And then you know what would have happened? Him and Jesus out there walking on top of the water, having a good time. Hallelujah. And then Peter joins Jesus and looks at the boat and says, y'all come on. And I want to tell you, Peter would have kept his focus on the Lord and been out there walking with Jesus. Others would have followed. Amen. You understand? I'm telling you, we affect each other. Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Amen. I want to tell you, it makes a big difference when you join with Jesus and Peter and Jesus calling out to the others, come on, it's a lot more fun out here than it is in a sinking boat. Let's go. And I want to tell you, it would have been a heavenly parade all the way to the shore without the boat. Brother Tim, you're stretching it. No, I'm trying to show you the I am. Don't put restrictions. Don't put them in a box. The walls are to be knocked down this year. The roof's been taken off. Let's believe him over human restrictions, over a human calendar. Let's practice saying yes to God. Whatever you focus on becomes bigger. Verse 30, but when he perceived and felt the strong wind, he was frightened. And I want to tell you, that's what happens to us. So many, and I'm working on a series that I want to preach this year. I hope I get to preach it this year. It goes like this. How to discover your destiny. How to follow your destiny. But as I was, meditating on this and taking some notes, I kept feeling like something was missing. And I actually got this part in a dream. Is a lot of people discover their destiny and they start following their destiny. But just like Peter, they don't finish. And so a very important part of this series is going to be how to finish. How to fulfill, how to finish your destiny. Because how many pastors have we seen over the years that had a lot more talent and were much more gifted that quit on God because even though they started following, even though their focus was on Jesus, they got distracted, got their focus off, and now you can't even hear from them. Much more gifted, much more talented. I want to tell you, the ones, and I'm speaking to you, that put your focus on Jesus and keep your focus on Jesus, you're a water walker. And you will cause others to walk after you as they follow Jesus. Peter was close and he got distracted. Fear returns. You see, fear will always make appearance. And a lot of times the enemy will bring that fear train around just to see if you're interested. Making all kind of noise, all kind of racket, just to see if he can get your attention. Just to see if he can get you to get your eyes off Jesus just for a little while. Hear voices, people speaking to you that mean well but lie. And I want to tell you, it's very, very important. It can happen to any of us. It does. But fear is unbelief. And he began to sink. Now here's the good news. He cried out, help. I've told you before, that's one of the most spiritual prayers you can ever pray, is to cry out, help. Jesus has compassion for you. He will help you. And he must have been close because Jesus just reached out his hand. Do you see that? Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and caught and held on to him, saying to him, oh, you have little faith. Now, what happened? I want to tell you, when you break down what he said by little faith, it's talking about unbelief. Oh, you have unbelief. Why did you get fear? I love what the Message, I think it's Message Bible says this. I read so many of them. I think this is it. It says, why did you let that get into you? You were doing so well. Why did you let that get into you? I got a kick out of that because that's what happens. We're doing so well focusing on Jesus. The wind is still there. The waves are still there. But we're walking on the words of Jesus and we're having such great success. God's doing the supernatural in our life and we take our focus off of Him. Why did we let that get into us? We were doing so well. Why did you doubt? But I'm saying to you, Jesus, instantly. It happens to me. It probably happened to you. We don't walk this perfectly. But I want to tell you, as we mature and grow and continue to focus on the I Am, we get greater and greater revelation and we learn how to walk better as time goes by. He's here, He's near, He's close. Our faith gets weak because of fear and unbelief. And when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat knelt and worshipped Him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. Now look at this, look at this. They had a fresh memorial, a fresh remembrance, a fresh witness and testimony of the I Am in their life. A fresh revelation that He's the I Am. And I Am means more than enough. God is not going to give you direction on something He will not empower us to accomplish. I need to say it again. I guess it's better preaching than you're listening, because I want to tell you, that's good. This is something that needs a star by it. Well, she does have a star by it. Okay, thank you. God is not going to give us direction on something that He will not empower us to accomplish. When Jesus gave direction to the disciples and said, I'll meet you over there on the other side, Bethsaida, I'll meet you on the other side. I want to tell you, He gave direction. There was empowerment to accomplish what He gives us direction to do. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. Fear causes us to falter. Faith causes us to receive what we say and what we pray and what He wants. Wow. We don't do it perfectly. I've never done it perfectly. But I want to tell you, you keep practicing. I want to guarantee you. See, this is what I love about Peter. See, he faltered there. And he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord rescued him. And I want to tell you, the Lord will do the same for you. But I want to tell you what you do. Just because you fall or you falter doesn't mean that you quit. Amen. You get back up and you start believing again. You get back up and swing the bat. You get in the huddle for the next play. And you continue on. He's here, He's near. He's close. And you know what? Even when we miss, His love covers us. Now, we all got testimonies about that. Don't look too spiritual on me. All right, you know that's true. But I want to tell you, I want to say this from heaven. I first heard it from a coach. But I want you to hear it from heaven. That you know what? The Lord would rather you go full speed and exercise and practice faith and miss than stay in a sinking boat. If you're going to miss full speed. And then get back up and let's trust again. Because we're going to be learners for the rest of our life. And other people are following us. And they got back in the boat, and those knelt and worshiped God. Be bold and practice stepping out even when we miss. His love covers. He won't let you drown. That's important. Is your assurance in the Lord. He's the way of escape. He'll get you to the other side. He'll help you get out of the wilderness. He'll get you to the promised land. And so here's very important points. You got to listen real fast and let me cover this. Number one is this, get out of the boat. Step out. When you step out, you position yourself to receive. And I want to tell you, there's nothing about getting out of the boat that's easy. Okay? It requires cold-hearted obedience. You got to choose Jesus over yourself. But it puts you in a position to receive. And so cold blood, get out for the first step, get out. And remember the I Am. That's important for us. Daily, continually. Focus on Him. He meets us. It's the assurance of Him. He meets us there. When the wind and waves resist, and they will, don't quit. Keep focusing on Jesus. Don't be a fraidy cat. Everybody wants a testimony without the test. You know what we got? I think I made this up. You know what we got, Christians that will not follow Jesus to pass the test? We got a bunch of moany testy Christians. Moany Christians without the test. They just moanies. Moaning, moaning, moaning. That's what you hear. A testimony is a victory of Jesus that you see in your life. 2020. I'm going to announce to you, I'm not speaking something bad on you. I'm just saying that what Jesus said about this world is that troubles come. So let me announce something. In 2020, there may be a storm coming in your life. Very well may be. So how are you going to respond? Now, it'd be best, instead of waiting until you're in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the boat there, and the boat sinking, before waiting on that, why don't we determine ahead of time what we're going to do and how we're going to respond. And the best way to do that is to practice doing it every day. Remember the I Am. And when you're remembering the I Am, I mean, you speak the I Am. You speak the victory. Following Jesus, we go through storms. He described the valley of the shadow of death. Tough times come. But be determined. Be committed. Even in the face of adversaries. We've seen a lot of people quit. Our part is to position ourselves for a miracle even before the storm gets here. Let's let it be a lifestyle. Okay, I got some very important things to say, and that's going to have to wait because I'm going to respect your time. And I will start out with this next week. But there's three very important things about faith that goes with it. I'm just going to say one. I'm just going to say one. And this is going to stir some things. So if you get stirred, see one of the pastors. They'll love you into the truth. But there is a saying, and I'm basing it on this. People want to say, faith moves God. I'm going to say no. They say, faith moves God. I'm telling you no. Because what I'm telling you is that faith... His grace, His love has already moved. He went from heaven to earth as a baby. He went from this earth to the cross. He went from the cross to hell. He went from hell to heaven. And He's sitting down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus has already moved. You know what faith does? Faith moves us into seeing and agreeing what God's already done. And applying it, the victory to our life in the right now. I'm going to give you, I can't get on this. This is next week. But I'm just going to say this. Father already sees you a winner. He already sees you victorious. If you're in Christ, He already sees you there. Our faith moves us into agreement with what Father has already done and how He already sees us. Amen. Boy, that'll make a difference if you're sick. That'll make a difference if you're suffering, if you're disturbed. That'll make a difference in your finances. Okay? We're not the poor trying to talk God into something. We're the rich in Christ receiving what He's already done. That's a big difference. Is that too much for you? See, I might not should have kicked that out. But I'm going to talk about it next week. I love you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Those on podcast, thank you for joining us. We bless you in the name of Jesus. We bless these saints. We bless you. We speak the favor of the Lord upon the saints this week. And Lord, we just speak a week of health and healing and restoration. Lord, we bless the people with, Lord, divine favor in their jobs and in their finances. Lord, we pray your prosperity to be upon them, that they are blessed going and coming in and out and all about. We bless them in the name of Jesus, and we just declare a revelation of the I Am to be ever present in our consciousness of you this week. We want to see you. I declare that our eyes and our ears and our hearts are open to see you as you really are. And we give you praise.